Tomorrow is a big day for my family. Tomorrow is our oldest daughter's 5th birthday, which is really exciting. That's not what today's about, though. But May 7th, 2018 marks 5 years since our family went from just 2 crazy lovebirds to 2 crazy lovebirds with a baby girl. And it's hard for me to believe that 5 years have gone by since God gave us the gift of being parents. I remember before Ezra Kate was born, being in the car by myself and hearing a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman titled Cinderella. It's a really special song to me because it's the song that my wife danced to with her dad at our wedding. But on this particular moment in the car by myself, it was the first time that I had heard this song since finding out that I was going to have a baby girl of my own. As the lyrics of this song walk through the milestones in his daughter's life, I sat there driving my car and praying that I would not wreck through the blurry, teary eyes that I had. I was getting destroyed by the thought of my baby girl growing up and becoming a woman that God created her to be. The parents of the seniors in this class, I'm probably relating with you a little bit. You are here this morning and are actually living out what I was dreading 5 years ago about the next 18 years that would be coming before me as even just a possibility. But you are here this morning, right here in that exact moment, knowing that your son or your daughter is about to graduate and begin a new journey of their own. They're ready, I'm sure. Taking their last test, maybe already having done that, ready to walk across the stage and receive a piece of paper that says, "Yay, you've done it. Congratulations." And then they leave for a new journey. But today we want to honor and celebrate that journey so far and pray over the one to come. 14 seniors in this year's class are about to join me on stage for us to recognize and celebrate the last 4 years of their life. May each of us here today commit to praying for the next 4 years and beyond. But today, let us honor these seniors and what they have achieved. At this time, I'd like to invite all of our shepherds up here on stage to join me. And in just a second, I will ask each of our seniors to come and receive a gift, joining the rest of us up here for a time of prayer. Shepherds, y'all come on up. As I announce each senior's name, they will come up here. Parents of each senior, if you will just stand where you are so we can honor and recognize you as well. Y'all come on up and join me on the stage. And y'all stand back there so we can get everybody up here. We got 14 seniors coming up. So, to the Hendersonville Church of Christ, I present to you the graduates of this year's senior class of 2018. If you would, hold your applause until the end. Graduating from Beach High School, Miss Olivia Brassel, daughter of Jay and Aletha Brassel, granddaughter of Linda Brassel. Thank you, congratulations. Graduating from White House Heritage High School, Miss Autumn Brown, daughter of Chris and Erica Brown. Graduating from White House Heritage High School, Miss Haley Brown, also the daughter of Chris and Erica Brown. Graduating from Aaron Academy, Mr. Chad Buren, son of Bill and Lorinda Buren. Graduating from East Robertson High School, Mr. Bryce Cook. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. It's not Bryce. Graduating from Station Camp High School, Miss Elizabeth Buren, daughter of Bill and Lorinda Buren. Graduating from East Robertson High School, Mr. Bryce Cook, son of Bobby Cook and Suzanne Grayson. Graduating from Beach High School, Miss Mallory Cottrell, daughter of Dustin and Cherie Cottrell, granddaughter of Linda. Graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Mr. Ben Head, son of David and Tracy Head and grandson of Clyde and Elaine Head. Also graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Mr. Isaac Johnson, son of Teresa Johnson and Will Johnson, grandson of Nancy Rogers. Graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Miss Allie Jones, daughter of Jeremy and Sandy Jones. Also graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Miss Grace Scott, daughter of John and Carolyn Scott. Also graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Miss Haley Shin, exchange student living with Jamie and Robin King. Graduating from Hendersonville High School, Miss Ruthie Steele, daughter of Chris and Poppy Steele. And last but not least, graduating from Good Pasture Christian School, Miss Mallory Wire, daughter of Jeff and Susan Wire, granddaughter of Randy and the late Bobby Odom. Congratulations to the senior class of 2018. In just a second, I'm going to ask Clyde Head to pray over this class of seniors. Clyde, if you want to make your way through up to the microphone. But before I do, I would like to ask for anyone who is here this morning that has helped in any way, teaching, coaching, babysitting, changing diapers, whatever it was, to help one of these seniors to get to the point where they are now. If you would please stand, that is parents included, stand where you are. Seniors, take a look around. This is a great group of people who have helped you tremendously. These men and women have been the hands and the feet of Jesus, helping to mold you, to shape you, to be a rock for you, allowing God to use them to help make you who you are today. Seniors, how about you give them a round of applause and thank them for who they have been in your lives? Thank you. You may be seated. Clyde, if you would.
First of all, let me say to these 14 graduates, this prayer that I'm about to speak is lifted up for you by every member of this congregation, but especially by your parents and by your grandparents. Let's pray together. Holy and righteous Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us with these wonderful graduates that stand before us today. We want to thank you for the memories that they give us, for the happy moments and the trying moments, for the accomplishments of that they have made in their lives, for all of those transition moments that we will remember, of the carpooling to activities, the scare of the driver's license, all of those moments that really are culminated by today. And today we thank you for this time in their lives when they make this big step in becoming an adult. We ask you to bless them as they transition from high school to college. We're thankful that all 14 of them are headed for colleges. And we pray your blessings as they go through that next step in their lives. We pray that as they leave their homes and go out on their own, that they will always hold Scripture in the highest regard for their whole lives. We pray that they will always remember that the Bible is you their God, talking to them. We ask that you guide them in their prayer life, that they may reflect Jesus by praying as he did, with total dependence on you and the courage to pray about everything that life brings to them. We're thankful for the lives of each of these 14 graduates, for what they are, and for who they will be. We thank you for Olivia Brazel, for Autumn Brown, for Haley Brown, for Chad Buren, for Elizabeth Buren, for Bryce Cook, for Mallory Cottrell, for Ben Head, for Isaac Johnson, for Allie Jones, for Grace Scott, for Haley Shin, for Ruthie Steele, and for Mallory Wire. We're so thankful that they have been a part of our lives, and we pray that you will hold them close as they love and worship you, so that your Holy Spirit can live in them and produce his fruit through their lives. Holy Father, we pray that we have given these graduates roots and wings, roots that are firmly embedded in your kingdom, so that their spiritual anchor will hold fast as life unfolds before them, and wings to launch their dreams with reliance on your guidance. Father, just as these graduates are transitioning to something different, our whole congregation is transitioning and blessed by Les and June Chapman joining us. Blessed beyond our imaginations. And we pray your blessings on that transition as we go through that. And bless Les and June as they join us. Most of all, Father, we thank you for loving us enough that you gave your Son to die for our salvation so that we might have eternal life with you. We thank you for Jesus, in whose name we offer this prayer. Amen.
Let's give one more hand for the senior class of 2018. What a great day to be able to honor this class of seniors. It's been 15 years since I graduated high school, which is crazy to me and maybe mind-blowing to some of you. A great day in my life for sure, but wow, how much I have learned since that day and how much I know y'all will continue to learn moving forward. And while today is about honoring and celebrating our senior class of 2018, I want the words that I am about to preach to be from the Lord to all of you, not just to this group of young men and young women who are about to begin a new part of their journey. Whether your journey as a follower of Jesus just began, or you've been at it for 60 plus years, the simplicity of this message this morning is for us all a message in which I myself probably need to hear the most. But my goal for us today will be to answer a simple question. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Seniors, you have been asked this question, am I right? Yeah, absolutely. From the time we could listen to a question, comprehend what was being said, and give an answer that makes at least a little bit of sense, these words have been asked from seemingly everyone that we know. From our preschool teachers to our elementary school principals to our peewee sports coaches and our greatest of mentors, we've been answering this question for a long time. And throughout my lifetime, I have had several different answers for that question. When I was itty bitty many, many years ago, like Eli Reese's size, I used to march around the house dressing up as different characters. And now that I myself am a dad with girls that do the same, I have to say a special God bless you to my mom for putting up with all the costume changes and cleanup sessions of my superhero shenanigans. But even with all of the wardrobe changing, there was one hero in particular that I enjoyed imitating more than all of the others. I loved Superman. I loved Superman. And everyone in our house knew it because I would run around acting as if I had all the power in the world and nothing could ever stop me. Because of my love for this hero, my mom made something special for me, a red cape. Everyone knows that in order to be Superman, you have to have a cape. As a small child, you can be wearing nothing but a diaper, and suddenly when your mom ties her flower pattern pink and white towel around your neck, all of a sudden you are transformed into Superman and can fly anywhere that you want to. And so being a part of my daily routine, my mom eventually made me a red cape, likely so I would stop getting all of her towels dirty. And the answer to that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? For me, the very first answer was that I wanted to be Superman. As I got older and my love for sports grew, my answer would change. I grew to love basketball, and as a kid who grew up in the mid-80s and 90s, I really enjoyed watching Michael Jordan. One night I was doing my best to act just like Michael Jordan, and so naturally I was standing on top of our toilet. You see, I had just finished brushing my teeth, and I'd rinsed my mouth out with a small paper cup. And a paper cup wadded up in the hands of a young boy can be anything. And at that moment, it was a basketball with my hoop being the small bathroom trash can that was on our floor. What I didn't realize was that when I jumped off the toilet to slam dunk that cup into the trash can, the corner of the sink was not going to move out of the way. Rather, it was going to do its best to block my shot or put a gash right between my eyes. Lots of blood and a trip to the emergency room later taught me that our sink was a really good defensive player, and I'd probably ought to keep my basketball game on the court. But it didn't stop me from dreaming of making the NBA one day, right? In my fourth grade journal, I would write about that dream, and I'm not really sure when it became apparent that that dream would not come true. But I do have in my fourth grade yearbook a note from one of my really good friends that said, "Shelby, I believe in you. I think that you will make it to the NBA one day." I hope that he's not still waiting. Clearly I'm not. So moving on to the next big thing, growing up and growing older, I started to think a little bit more practically. I loved animals. I thought that hanging out with them would be really cool, so I started telling people that I wanted to be a veterinarian when I grew up. But there were three things that I didn't take into consideration when this dream of mine began. One, I would have to go to a lot more school than I was willing to go to. Two, I would be the guy responsible for putting dogs into the cone of shame. Nobody wants to do that. And three, being a vet wasn't just about hanging out with dogs and other cool animals. I would have to take care of cats, too. I don't want to do that. I'm sorry if you're a cat person. But I was back to square one. Y'all, the struggle's real. I'm trying to figure out how to answer that question. How in the world are we ever going to come up with an answer? What are we going to do with our lives? What do you want to be when you grow up? We ask that question to little 3- and 4-year-olds as if they are going to give us a legit answer and then become that thing, right? I wonder what the statistics are on toddlers naming their profession as an answer to this question and then actually following through with it. Maybe there are a few here and there, but for the most part, what we want to be when we grow up is a question that takes growing up in order to be answered. What if, though, you weren't given the chance to grow up before this question was answered for you? This morning, we're going to take a look at a guy's story and some of the decisions he made following this life-altering promotion that really left him without the chance to grow up first. 2 Chronicles 34. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. But in 2 Chronicles 34, we read a fascinating story. One that very much points toward what we are trying to accomplish with the teens in our student ministry. But also one that should remind every single one of us on a daily basis what it is that we need most. So starting in verse 1, the story starts off with a bang in just the first 9 words. We read this: Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Let's read that again. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. I don't know what you were doing when you were 8 years old. But along with dreaming of my days in the NBA, the thing that I thought about the most was just a good snow day. Right? Just a good snow day, or several of them. Days when I could stay home from school and go sledding down the neighborhood's hills. Snowball fights, football in the snow, snow cream cones, more snow, and more days out of school. If I would have been named the President of the United States at the age of 8, I probably would have tried my best to cancel school for everyone and play a lot of basketball with the Secret Service. That is why 8-year-olds don't run our country. But Josiah, as an 8-year-old, became king. He did become king of Judah. No time to grow up. No time to think about how he would answer our question. He just became king when he was the equivalent of a third grader. A time in life when he should have been sitting on the floor eating pancakes and watching Saturday morning cartoons. And while it is incredibly strange and mind-boggling to think about a boy king at the age of 8, we see a great story when we read about what he did during his reign. It is a story of reformation for his kingdom. It's a story of renewed covenant with God. And it's a story of transformation in his life. In 2 Chronicles 34, we can see that becoming king as an 8-year-old, Josiah reigned in Judah for 31 years. He was a good king. He did good things. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he followed in the ways of his father David. We read in his 8th year, as a 16-year-old, right in the golden years of adolescence, we read that he began to seek the God of his father David. He started seeking the Lord. He began pursuing them. Josiah was looking for a relationship with God. I think about the 16-year-olds in our student ministry, some of them sophomores, some of them juniors. I am constantly reminding them that there is nothing more important than their relationship with God. I tell that to all of our students. For all of us as followers of Jesus, everyone in here, our pursuit of God must be greater than our pursuit of anything else in this world. And having done student ministry for a little over 10 years now, the greatest moments for me have been the times in which I get to witness teens begin to recognize their need for God being greater than their need for anything else in this world, anything else that this world could possibly provide. And what we read about Josiah doing here in verse 3 is my greatest desire for our students, for your kids, that they come to the realization that there is an everlasting need to have more of God in their lives. That is the pursuit that Josiah began as a 16-year-old in the 8th year of his reign as king. And then in his 12th year, now 20 years old if you're doing the math with me, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all their self-made high places. He was taking down and removing the things which were keeping them as a kingdom and as the people of God from being who they were called to be. He removed Asherah poles. He tore down altars built to other gods. He burned the bones of the priests who had been idolized. In the eyes of this young king, nothing could take the place of their need for God to be the one who was being exalted. And anything that threatened to take that place was done away with. In his 18th year, He began to seek purification for the land and for the temple. Repairs were made with money that had been dedicated for such a purpose. And through this process, the book of the law was found and brought to Josiah. In hearing its words read to him, Josiah realized that the kingdom of Judah had fallen far from the statutes and decrees in which they were called to by the Lord. They had turned from him. They had lived according to their own selfish desires. They had been unfaithful to the God who had saved and provided for them over and over again. And so Josiah tore his robes, humbling himself before the Lord and calling all of the people, from the least to the greatest, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees, of which he committed himself to, obeying with all his heart and soul. 2 Chronicles 34 ends with the last two verses reading like this. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites, and he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Do you see the transformation that takes place here? Do you see the reform that Josiah made, starting with his own life? Do you see the way he called those around him to a higher standard of following and living for the one true God? Josiah began a reformation that changed the outlook of the kingdom of Judah. It doesn't take long getting into this chapter to understand that Judah had not been trusting the Lord. They had not been faithful to his ways. They had long been lost. But by the end of the chapter, we read that this would no longer be the case under the reign of Josiah. For as long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord. And it is crazy to think that all of this started, all of this began with the reign of an 8-year-old boy. It took Josiah recognizing a need for change. It took Josiah recognizing a need for something new. It took him realizing his kingdom's need for more of God in their lives. And y'all, the same goes for us. Same goes for us. The transformation of the church, the transformation of our children, the transformation of our students, of our graduates, of all of our teenagers, transformation of our own lives depends on the exact same thing. We have got to recognize our need for God as the Lord of our lives. We have to reform the way we think. We have to reform what is important to us. We have to be seeking out the God that the people who have gone before us have impressed on our lives. We have to truly be making him the God of our lives, the only God that we worship. We must break the cords of sin that so easily entangle us, that keep us from being the men and the women of God which he created us to be. Y'all, those things that hold us back, distracting us from really pursuing him with all that we are, they have got to go, and our love for him has got to grow. See, most of us here today probably feel like we have the question all figured out. What do you want to be when you grow up? You've got it figured out. But it is never too late for that answer to change. I'm not asking for doctors to become lawyers. I'm not asking for bankers to become teachers. No change in profession is necessary. I'm simply asking the people of God to start being the people of God. I'm asking the children of God to begin loving him as their father. I'm asking the servants of our Lord to start serving him as their master. I'm asking the people of God to reform their lives in such a way that the glory of our God and King will be revealed to those around us, and they will have nothing else to do but to glorify him along with us. Seniors of 2018, the question remains for you and will continue to be asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if you're anything like I was 15 years ago, as I sat in your seat, you will stress about it day in and day out until it becomes perfectly clear via God's message to you in a neon sign above your head. But my advice to you now, in your pursuit of that answer, having the advantage of looking back, I get it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. You will figure it out. I have no doubt that will happen. But there is something so much greater to pursue as you figure out who you are going to be. Jesus speaks to this very thing in Matthew 6. He mentions the birds of the air, saying that they are fed and cared for by God, even though they do not reap a harvest or store away food in barns. He talks about the flowers of the field, reminding us that they grow without toil and are more beautiful than even Solomon in all of his splendor. And so if God has given these wonderful things to that which will pass away so quickly, will he not also graciously give us, whom he loves more than anything else that he has ever created, all of these things as well? Therefore, he concludes this part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount by saying this in verse 34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Instead, he tells us a verse earlier what we should do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things that you worry about, these things that you stress about, who am I going to be, what am I going to do, they'll be added to you as well. Seniors of 2018, if there is anything that I could pray for you to be when you grow up, if there's anything I could pray for you to be right now, as you finish this part of your journey and start a new adventure, my prayer for you would be that you become kingdom seekers, that you become God righteousness seekers, to be men and women who recognize that there is a need, an everlasting need for more God in your life. Josiah saw it as a 16-year-old and it changed an entire generation. With the power of God at hand, you can do the exact same. We can all do the exact same. No one here is too young. No one is too old. Aren't we all growing up every single day? What do we want to be when we grow up? And let's be the people of God. Let's be a force for the kingdom of God, bound and determined to bring reform to his kingdom. Wake up every single day in pursuit of him as God in your life. Maybe you're here today, and like Josiah, you realize that you are not at the place that you should be, that you need more of God in your lives, or that you need to rid yourself of those things that are holding you back from being that person that you need to be. Maybe you want to give your life to him in baptism and start a new journey. Begin to seek God as a part of your life. Whatever your need is, whatever we can do for you, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.